Desmond Ward grew up in DeLisle, Mississippi. She received her MFA from the University of Michigan and has been a Stegner Fellow at Stanford and a Grisham Visiting Writer in Residence at the University of Mississippi. She is currently an Assistant Professor of Creative Writing at the University of South Alabama. Jesmyn won the 2011 National Book Award for her novel, Salvage the Bones. Today we'll speak with her about her new title, a memoir, Men We Reaped. Welcome, Jesmyn. It's so great to have you with us on the Book Report.
It's good to be here.
Why the title, Men We Reaped?
I really loved the Harriet Tubman quote. As soon as I found it, the imagery was so strong in it, right? That they would be, after this battle, that they would be going out into the fields and they would be, basically reaping dead men. It was such a strong image to me that it immediately caught me, right? And I felt like I could identify with that imagery because of what I lived through and because of what I knew I was planning to write about. And so I actually came up with the title, The Men We Reaped, at the very beginning of the process of writing the book. And for once, that title actually remained the title throughout that entire process. Usually it doesn't work like that. Usually, I'll come up with a title at the very beginning and then it changes, but it didn't change. So
the book is about five young men you grew up with, when your brother Joshua, then Ronald, CJ, DeMond, and Roger. All of them died between 2000 and 2004. Your brother was killed by a drunk driver, another took his own life, another drug overdose. Yet you see them all as part of an epidemic. Why?
They all died so close together, right? And they were all young black men, right, when they died. And I just felt like when all of that was happening, and then even afterwards, I felt like, okay, this can't be something that is just chance, like this can't just be luck. There has to be some reason that this is happening. And really, in some respects, that's why I decided to attempt to write the book anyway, because I wanted to answer that question, right? Like, why an epidemic like this? Why is it happening in this small rural town in the South? Like, why is that happening? And so I, wrote the book, and then by the end of the book, I felt like I'd found my way to an answer, where I suddenly saw at the end of the book that, that the history of racism, history of economic inequality, just a history of just general disadvantagement, that disadvantagement that black people, suffer in the South, that they live with for generations in the South, that I think that history, that bears fruit in the present. I think that it's, makes bad luck and bad choices possible. I think that when those two things come together, then this is what happens.
DeLisle, as you describe it, is a place that you love and hate. It seems almost like a character in your story. Tell us a little about it.
So DeLisle is, it's a really small town. We have an elementary school and a couple of a couple of country stores. Now we have a restaurant, but it's just really small. The part of the community where I live is mostly black, mostly working class. The people that have lived there, most of them, the families that have lived there, have basically lived there for generations. So there are very large extended families, and a lot of the families in the town, are kin to each other in different ways. So, in some ways I think that, that it's really idyllic, right? So, but at the same time that it's idyllic, because of that community and how tight-knit it is, and how beautiful the place is.
I was so struck about your description of how your brother at age 6 reacted when your father died. You wrote, he ran around the house, lap after lap, round after round, wailing, crying for daddy, and he did so for hours.
Mm-hmm. He did, and he, the grown-ups, they tried to stop, like my aunts and my uncles tried to stop him, and picked him up and tried to bring him in the house, and he would like squirm and fight them and get away from them, and then when they would let him loose, then he just kept running. And that's how he fell asleep.
You were born in California. Your parents had moved there for a new start. Your mother never wanted to return to the South. Do you ever think about what your family life would have been like had your parents not returned to Mississippi?
I do. You know, I wonder if they would have stayed together, you know, if, and then I wonder how, you know, how our lives would have been different, you know, the kids, because then it makes me wonder, you know, would my mother, would she have continued with school? Would she have finished school? You know, would, you know, what kind of schooling would we have had? What kind of neighborhood would we have grown up in? I mean, we could have, you know, we could have been very different people. So I do. I think about it sometimes, but I don't, you know, the returning from the South, I know that was a hard thing for both of them to do. Like, that was a hard decision, or at least for definitely my mom to make. And I know that it has made life much harder. It made life harder for her, and I think in ways harder for us as a family. I wouldn't trade it, because I feel like I've learned so much living the childhood that I did. So I don't know. I don't regret it.
You wrote, and this so struck me, my entire community suffered from a lack of trust. We didn't trust society to provide the basis for a good education, safety, access to good jobs, fairness in the justice system. And even as we distrusted the society around us, we did not trust our fathers to raise us, to provide for us. Because we trusted nothing, we endeavored to protect ourselves. Boys becoming misogynistic and violent, girls turning duplicitous, all of us hopeless. Has anything changed there since your teens?
I don't know. I mean, I think that much of that still exists. And I think that there are many people, you know, at home for whom all of that is the case, you know, and I do still think that that sense of trust is lacking, you know, and that we're still having that reaction, right, to that lack. So no, I mean, I think that a few things have changed, but I don't think it's changed substantially.
Has President Obama done anything or enough to inspire hope or courage?
Yes, I think just by the simple fact of being that he's inspired, you know, hope.
From Miami, you're headed to speak at bookstores near your childhood home. What will this mean for you, and in what ways do audiences differ north to south and east to west?
So, you know, it's always interesting whenever I speak at home because, you know, as I said, I have a huge extended family. So most of the people there are my family members. And then especially because this is, you know, nonfiction, like this is the truth that I've written about and some of them are in it. So it's going to be interesting.
After reading the book, I really want to know, how are your sisters and your mother?
They're doing well. You know, my youngest sister, you know, she went to college. She has 2 degrees now. She has a bachelor's degree and she has a master's degree. She's actually a teacher now. My middle sister, you know, she's currently in school. She's worked for years in the dental field. So she's currently in school now to get a degree in dental hygiene because she wants to be a dental hygienist. So they're doing really good. My mom is good. You know, she actually is a teaching assistant. So she works at a school that provides for children with developmental problems. She really feels like she's giving back, you know, and doing something meaningful with her time. So they're all doing really well.
What's next for you?
I'm tackling a novel after this. I'm having problems finding the correct beginning, the true beginning. You know, I love creative nonfiction, you know, but I don't want to write another memoir again. It was very difficult, so I would rather not do it again. Plus, I feel like, you know, this right now, thank goodness in my life, this is the only memoir that I have in me, and hopefully that will remain the same.
We're sitting here with your beautiful baby girl. Do you want her to grow up to be a writer too?
If she wants to. Sometimes I think about that and I wonder if that's what she'll want to do.
Well, Jasmine, it's a magnificent book. I so enjoyed reading it and so enjoyed meeting you and your beautiful daughter today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.